Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Joe Condrell is not here yet. We're working on that. We're going to try to get her on. And she'll probably be here in just a few minutes. She's just got a little bit of a technical challenge hooking up with her. And but she'll be here in a minute. Let me talk to you about... I'll talk to you about some of the things, though, that she was going to talk to you about, and that's China. She's just getting back from China, and we'll get her on here in a minute to help me out with this. But one of the things I wanted to do was to remind you about something that's happening right now. And, you know, you've heard a lot of people talking about how China is emerging as becoming a manufacturing powerhouse, and they're sucking jobs out of other countries. And you know what? That's true. That is true. It's happening all the time. But there's something else going on, and that is that manufacturing jobs, a recent report by that some of you may have seen in the Wall Street Journal, showed that manufacturing jobs were down, had been eliminated worldwide as much as 15%. That includes China. Even in China, manufacturing jobs are not as plentiful as they were. And one of the reasons, the primary reasons for that is productivity. The primary reason is technology. That's right. And, you know, there are a couple of forces that there are at least two forces that are impacting the manufacturing jobs around the world. One of them is the free flow of capital and goods and money and people and services around the world. Companies are able, even small companies are able to move their production to a lower price location. And that's the way of the marketplace. It's just going to happen. Nobody's being mean. Nobody's doing anything wrong. It's just the way it's the way technology is allowing that to happen. And that's going to create a very interesting but sometimes a pretty rude 21st century marketplace. And we're all going to have to just live with that. We're going to have to learn to deal with it. You know, the jobs that went to Mexico from the United States, the NAFTA jobs, primarily textile jobs, that went to Mexico from the U.S., primarily from the south, southern part of the U.S., those jobs in the early part of the 20th century came to the south from New England. There was a big uproar over that. But a couple of hundred years before that, they'd come from England to New England, and there was a big uproar over that. So when we had NAFTA, there was a big uproar over that. Guess what's happening now, though? The jobs that went to Mexico, they've now gone to China, many of them, or Indonesia, or somewhere else. They didn't even last 10 years in Mexico. They've moved somewhere else. So all the weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth that people had about NAFTA around, you know, in the United States, they didn't like NAFTA. Well, that was just a short stop. I mean, if we hadn't had NAFTA, those jobs would be leaving here now and going to China, or Indonesia, or somewhere like that. So the jobs, the thing about the marketplace is it's like water. The marketplace is going to seek its own level. It's going to find the most efficient places to do business. And so that's a heads up for all of us. And we have to realize that if you're still thinking about your business in terms of the 20th century, you're in trouble. You've got to get yourself into the 21st century. You got to be thinking about what's going on right now. Some of the competitive influences, the competitive challenges that we all have, and the opportunities that are out there. We got to be thinking 21st century, because even in China, where manufacturing jobs are going, even their manufacturing base is being depleted, is being diminished, even though they're getting new jobs. they're not getting as many new jobs as maybe they thought they were going to because of technology. Technology is making it possible. I recently saw, recently talked to a guy who was the plant manager of a paper mill. And he said his brand new paper mill that they just put in all new machines, all new technology, his brand new machine, his brand new plant 10 years ago would have taken 800 people to operate. The one this year, the Greenfield plant they just built, 400 people, half. Technology, computers have made that operation much more efficient and has literally cut in half the requirements. And it's going to continue. That's not going to change. So we all have to realize that and deal with it. It's almost 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Tom Masacker is going to join us, and he's one of our top branding and change experts. And he's going to be going to have some good things to talk to us about. Governor Pete DuPont, former governor of Delaware and currently working with the National Center for Policy Analysis, is going to be with us. And it's Election Day. Tomorrow's Election Day in a number of places around the country, and I'm going to ask him how the importance of Election Day in America, what the importance of it is to the world, actually. And we're going to talk about that and some other things. Don Lambrow is going to be with us. Also, Mike Cox. I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. Let's get to our good friend Joe Condrill, who's with us now. And Joe is the author of Millennium Primer, Take Charge of Your Life. Also, 101 Ways to Improve Your Communication Skill Instantly. And her newest book, From Book Signing to Bestseller. Joe's our good friend. Joe, welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for having me back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And you just got back. By the way, welcome back to the USA.
Thank you.
Back from China, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
How did you find China?
I found it absolutely exciting and wonderful. And just everything, it was more than I expected, actually. I went on a trade mission, as you know, with the Los Angeles County Development Commission and the Asia Pacific USA Chamber of Commerce. Their executive director, Stacy Sun, had put together a tour for us and had arranged meetings with a number of officials and business people in China. So it was jam-packed with activity, very well organized and very well run.
Now, were you doing any speaking over there at all?
I was not speaking, but I did meet with some publishers. My intent was, you may not know, I recently put out Take Charge of Your Life in a softcover book. It's now available in paperback.
Good.
And that was the book that I was showing and sharing with various business people and publishers there in the hope of getting a publisher to take it up, translate it, publish and distribute it in China. And at the same time, I had Bob Erdman representing me at the Frankfurt Book Fair, also showing the book. Mm-hmm. And in the end, I do have a Chinese publisher who will be translating and publishing it.
Now, the challenge in China is that you got to do it in about 5 languages over there, don't you?
Well, that's what I thought, too. But what they do is they put it in what they call simplified Chinese characters.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they're trying to...
It translates across the regions then.
Exactly. They're trying to promote that and get that going. And so I was really happy to have the China International Radio Press offer to take it up and pay me in advance, as you know, the royalty in advance and then royalties on a continuing basis to distribute it. Also, I met over there with a television producer who told me through a translator, by the way. We worked extensively through translators because I know absolutely no Chinese.
It's a hard language, isn't it?
Right, yeah. But he did say that they would do a program if the book were picked up by a Chinese publisher, so I'm really looking forward to getting back with them.
What part of China were you in?
We initially went into Beijing, and then we flew to the coastal province of Shandong and went into a city called Xisha, which is more agricultural. They're the number one apple-producing region in China, and it was there that we did more extensive work with our counterparts in the business community.
How did you find the marketplace over there?
Well, it's bustling. It's developing. It's much more vibrant than I anticipated. They had information products developed for us. I mean, very professional, multicolored, and did a presentation. And then we sat down at tables one-on-one with counterparts and visited concerning their needs. They have very well expressed what their projects are that they're looking for joint venture in. And
well, entrepreneurship is breaking out all over the place over there, isn't it?
It truly is. I was absolutely amazed. I didn't realize that they had such a free market economy
already. It's becoming that. The government is actually, the things that I read, Joe, tells me that the government is actually encouraging that. They're actually unbundling some of these state-owned enterprises and allowing them to go private. And it's going to be an interesting, you know, the China is going to be a force, an economic, not a military, not a political, but an economic force to be reckoned with. It actually already is, but it's emerging as the, you know, productivity powerhouse of the planet.
I believe you're correct, and we saw a number of other nations that were already in big time, like Japan, like mm-hmm. Korea, you know, near to China, mm-hmm. Already investing a great deal of capital. In some of these projects, the state will stay in as a part owner,
right?
Maybe a third or
well,
a fourth.
Well, and the politicians are not—they're not ready to turn loose of things over there. I mean, they've still got their interest in maintaining control of the country to the degree that they can. I mean, they're still communist. It's still a communist nation. There's no question about that.
Right, but you see, they with the vast numbers and the underdeveloped areas, they really do need to maintain a certain level of control. I mean, I don't think that, you know, we need to talk politics.
Right. But no, you're right. I mean, the thing is what you're saying is that, I mean, it's not clear. I don't think in general the people are being abused over there. They're being allowed to seek a certain amount of self-determination. But you're right. There's got to be some order, and right now that's the Communist Party. Stand by, Joe. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. We'll be right back with our good friend, Joe Condrell. Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend Joe Condrell, the author of From Book Signing to Bestseller, An Insider's Guide to Conducting a Successful Low-Cost Book Signing Tour. She and John Slack are the co-authors of that. Also, don't forget her Millennium Primer, Take Charge of Your Life, which is now available in paperback. Is that right?
That's correct.
Where is that available, by the way?
Everywhere books are sold, Jim. Anybody can order it through their bookstore or library. If they can't get it that way, they can order it from me at 1-800-697-5680.
What about your website?
My website is www.goalminds.com.
All right. And the last name is Condrill, Condrill. And it's Joe with a J-O. So check that out if you're typing that into the online search engines. Joe, let's get back to China. Did you meet any small business owners while you were over there?
Well, yes. I didn't interact that much with the small business owners because, except for the publishers, the one publisher that I did meet with was very interested, didn't speak any English, had a brother who had served in Belgium with the NATO forces and stuff, and so he translated for us. And he was very thoughtful. He was very careful. he was everything you would want to meet in a counterpart, you know, not jumping right in, wanting to take the books back, and he did keep the books for review and that kind of
thing. But when you were talking business, was it easy to do that even through a translator?
Yes. They're pretty well organized. It's not something that's new to them.
They've been doing this longer than we have.
Right. And you know, their thought process, I bought a book before I went because I was totally unfamiliar with China. I've never traveled in Asia at all. Mm-hmm. And so I bought this book, In the Know in China, Indispensable Guide to Working and Living in China. And in the back, and the primary reason I bought it was that it had a CD with phrases in Chinese.
Right.
And so I listened to that a little bit to get acclimated and then read some of the things so I wouldn't make any major faux pas.
Sounds like that was an important tool for you. Give us the name of it again and give us the author, too, so we can help people.
Okay. In the Know in China. And it's called The Indispensable Guide to Working and Living in China. And the author is Jennifer Phillips.
Okay.
Phillips.
Check that out, folks. That might, if you're traveling... and maybe they're companion books for other parts of Asia, too, so that sounds like a good tool. But so when you were talking to these folks and you were talking business, the business acumen, I mean, the terms that you used and the, you know, trying to get to a business point, that wasn't too hard?
No. I think they expect it. And like I say, they did in Xisha, in Shandong province, as well as in Hubei and Huangxi, when we visited the center of the country on the Yangtze River, they had their materials already written out in English and in Chinese.
Wow.
Which was impressive to me, because now I'm sitting here with a projects list of some 32 projects that they have in Xisha City that they would like to have, you know, joint venture capital with. And they range in Xisha, it's basically agricultural, but in Hubei and Huangxi, it's primarily industrial projects. So
if we wanted to bring our own projects to them, it would be more appropriate for us to have to offer our material in both languages, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And in both, you know, they still use meters, they use centigrade, the metric system, and if we could translate our measurements into their system, it would really facilitate understanding. Some of the difficulties we had was when we found certain ones didn't have that translated into our system so that we could quickly relate to it. We had a printer with us on the tour.
At a minimum, you should have your business card on one side in English and the other side in the language of the land you're traveling in. That always helps. They appreciate that.
That's true, Jim. And, you know, I really underestimated the importance of the business card in China.
It's a big deal.
Everywhere we went.
Anywhere in Asia.
Okay.
Japan,
see,
too.
That was something I didn't know, and I ran out of cards about halfway through.
Take plenty of cards. That's one thing we learned today, isn't it, Joe? Thank you, Joe, for being here. Let's do this again. Well, I think you got some more to tell us. We'll do this some more next time.
Okay.
Thanks, Joe. Joe Condra, ladies
You're
and gentlemen.
Well.
She'll be back. And that's goldmines.com. Don't forget her website. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.